Hi, good morning. So this is Christmas season. Christmas is our time to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And so thinking about the birth of him, I thought about being pregnant. You know, not that I'm pregnant or know how to be pregnant, but you know, there typically if a woman's pregnant, there's generally several questions that they get asked. You know, first one, of course, is what? Are you pregnant? So it starts there. And I want you ladies to know, I will never ask you that question unless maybe you're about to give birth. I might say, is it possible that you may be pregnant? Because I say that out of past failures, if you get what I mean. So you only do that once, and then you learn it's not worth the risk. So first question is, are you pregnant? Second question typically is what? When do you do, right? When do you do? And then the third question, kind of follow-up to that is, do you know what you're having, right? Do you know what you're having? And so as part of my pastoral training with our pastors, I remind them, never ask a new mom or never tell a new mom that their baby they're holding looks like dad, because no mom wants to hear that, okay? I'm just being honest. They want that child who they've been carrying for 9 months to look like them. So if you say, oh, it looks just like dad, she's going to go home, make sure that child, whatever has to happen, that next time you see them, they're going to look like her. So just a little word of advice. And then number four question. So first of all, are you pregnant? When it's due? What do you have? And then they'll ask the question, have you picked out a name? Have you picked out a name? It reminds me, years ago, one of our associates were having a kind of an after church reception for new people to the church. And so we had some new families that were there. And part of this group was a grandma who was holding one of her brand new grandbabies. And one of our associates came up to her. And I actually witnessed this. He came up to them and he says to grandma, I said, oh, who is this? And he thinks that she introduces her grandchild as Chubby. So this is a true story. So he says to her and grabs the little girl by the cheek and says, oh, hello, Chubby. And the grandma goes, her name's Shelby. She was very kind about it, but I mean, it was like, oh my goodness. Talk about new visitor failure. Call your grandchild Chubby. So I told that story for years, and a little while ago, grandma has finally gone on to be in going to heaven, and I was doing her funeral, and lo and behold, who showed up? Chubby. I said, my gosh, and she was cute as a little button. I said, Shelby, I've been talking about you for 20 years. So I finally met Chubby. So the title of today's message in our series called Wonder is the wonder of the name, appropriate for this time and this season of the year, because this is, although it's a holiday and we all may be happy, we don't just stick with happy holidays. Even for us, we're not, like I say, we're not against it, but for us, it's Christmas. It's about the name. It's about Jesus Christ. And it's the time of year when we, as a church and as members of the body of Christ, we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. And his name's not Holiday. It's Jesus. And so in our era of political correctness, I'm warning you right now that for the next half hour or so, I'm going to talk a lot about Jesus. And not in a condemning way, but hopefully in an encouraging way that'll make you understand why he is so important to us and the power that is in that name, the name of Jesus. And so hopefully when you leave here, you'll have a fresh thoughts and visions of how that name applies to you and into your life. So let's pray together. Father, as I take a moment to pray, I ask you to help us to grow in our knowledge of your son, Jesus. Help us to see the word and the way you meant it to be. Help us to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, and help us walk out life as you intended for us through that knowledge. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the account of the birth of Jesus is only found in two of the four Gospels. So it's found in Matthew and in Luke. And in Luke, it's written from Mary's perspective and from her view. And in Matthew, it's written, the story, the account of the birth of Jesus is written from Joseph's point of view. And so the stories are slightly different, more than likely because Luke was a Gentile and Matthew was a Jew. And so they looked at it from a little bit of a different viewpoint, but we can learn from each one of those two stories. But both of them are consistent in that they tell us that the name of the child born and laid in the manger, the name of that child was important, and it was a special name given to him. You ever wondered why they chose the name of Jesus? Well, you may not know this, but Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew word for Joshua or Yeshua. You might have heard Jesus often referred to in the Hebrew as Yeshua. Well, that's a Joshua in Hebrew. So in that culture at that time, outside of the Jewish religion, of course, the Jews were a small part of the population of the world, that the name Joshua was fairly common. So it's not an uncommon name, but he was given this name Joshua. But to the Hebrews, the Jews, the name was significant because that name, Joshua or Yeshua, means Savior or salvation. So there's Savior and salvation only comes through that name, Jesus. Like for me, my name, I looked it up, my name means pledge of peace. So when I like, peace out, you know, I'm just doing my name thing, you know, peace out. Now Beth, on the other hand, Beth is short for Bethany. That means house of God. Oh. So we got peace out. Oh. Good combination, actually. We work well together. So it actually explains everything about how well we work out. Peace out. So what I like about the fact that God came to the earth, he could have chosen to send his son in a lot of different ways, but he chose to send him in a very humble way, was given a humble name, because he lived and ended up living a sinless life and giving his life for us, all that he could relate to you and I. I like that about our relationship with God. So let's look at these two examples in the Gospels and explanations of the birth of Jesus. The first is in Luke chapter 1, and we're going to start reading in verse 30. It says, "Then the angel, speaking to Mary, said to her, 'Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end.'" So I want you to notice four things that we see just in these passages of Scripture about Jesus and the declaration that heaven made over him, this baby born in a simple area, laid in a manger. Number one, he'll be great. Number two, he will be called the Son of the Most High. Three, he'll have a throne or he'll be a king. And number four, he'll reign over Israel and his reign will be forever. So that's a pretty interesting description of this baby that she was going to have. I love Mary's response. She says to the angel, "How can this be since I do not know a man?" How's that possible? She says, and I think really that there could possibly be a twofold question in that one question. How can this be? In other words, how can you say all these things about this child that's going to be born for me? How do you know all this? How is it possible that he's going to be great, that he's going to be called the Son of the Most High, that he's going to have a throne or he'll be a king, and that kingdom that he'll have will reign forever? How do you know that? How is that possible? And then, of course, the second sort of part of that question is, how is it possible? Because did you happen to remember I'm a virgin? This would be impossible to happen. But it was really all about this idea that this baby that she would have would be all of those things. That's why Jesus is important to all of us. Now let's take a look at the same story through Matthew's eyes. He, again, from his perspective, he tells us how Joseph saw all this. Of course, you know the story. Joseph and Mary were engaged to be married until Joseph finds out that she's pregnant. Now, you can imagine a guy and a girl who have been celibate. They haven't been together. And she says, "Hey, Joseph, there's something I got to talk to you about. But trust me, everything's fine. I love you. You know, everything's good. But I'm pregnant. But don't worry, it was God." how many would be a little shaken by that? It's like, you know, I need a little more proof than trust me on this one. So I picture Joseph, laying down at night. You know how when things get quiet in life and you're just contemplating, you're thinking, your mind's sort of, even though it's quiet, your mind's still racing. He's in that moment of trying to figure out what his life's going to look like, because I'm sure he had one thought and now things have, his world's been rocked. And then he falls asleep. And here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, it says, while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Like I say, he must have fallen asleep. And the angel says to him, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you, Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, or it's from God. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, remember the prophet Isaiah, you know the verse. And he says, behold, the virgin shall be with child, bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So obviously it was on purpose that the angel made sure that both Mary and Joseph on separate occasions knew to give the name of the child, or the child, the name of Jesus. So ever since the very first Christmas, the name is where we find comfort in both life and in death. And we find hope in that name in a what can be a lot of times a hopeless world. The Bible calls Jesus the babe of the manger, but it doesn't stop there. In fact, Jesus is known in Scripture through a lot of different names. He's known as the Almighty One, the Alpha and the Omega, the author and finisher of our faith. He's known as the bread of life, the beloved son, the bridegroom, the chief cornerstone, the deliverer. He's known as faithful and true. He's the good shepherd. He's the great high priest, the head of the church, the holy servant, the great I am, Emmanuel, the indescribable gift. He's the judge, the king of kings. He's the lamb of God, the light of the world, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lord of all. In Timothy, he's the mediator between God and man. He's the Messiah, the mighty one. He's the one who sets us free. Jesus is our hope. He's our peace. He's the prophet. He's our redeemer. He's the risen Lord. He's our rock, the sacrifice. He's the Savior. He's the Son of Man. He's the Son of the Most High. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the door. He's the way, the word, the vine, the truth, the victorious one. He's the wonderful counselor. He's mighty God, everlasting Father, and he is the Prince of Peace. But in all those things, he's just us. He's Jesus, our Lord. So you may ask, why is that name so important to us? Well, it's not just one of the things about being a Christian. It really, all joking aside, it's all about the name. Our faith is based, it's built on that name. In other words, we're not just believers or people of faith, churchgoers. We're Christians. Christians. We're in Christ. We're followers of Jesus. We're in Him. And this weekend, as we celebrate the holidays, we're celebrating Christmas, or the birth of Christ. You take Christ out of Christianity, all you got's anity. You take Christ out of Christmas, all you got's mass. Christ is important in our faith. So I want to share with you just six reasons why this name is so important to every one of us in the room, wherever you are in your faith. I know it's holiday season, so you may be home from college. You may be home to see your family. Maybe you don't attend church here. Maybe you don't attend church at all, or you're simply here this morning out of family duty. You're not even, you wouldn't go to church normally. You wouldn't say that Jesus is the center of your life. In this room, though, there are many people here who have made him the center of their life. They live for him. Jesus is more than just an expression at Christmas and Easter. He's Lord of their lives. They live their life with the desire to bring him glory and honor. Now, does that mean that every Christian's perfect? Well, of course not. We're human beings. We live in a fallen world. We all make mistakes. We've all fallen short of God's glory, but yet it's our desire to live in such a way to connect our lives with our Creator. So again, no matter where you are, this isn't to be condemning. This is just to be encouraging to you to consider the idea that Jesus is who he said he was, the Son of God who came to the earth to live a sinless life, to really be born in a manger, to destined to die in a tree. So here we are at Christmas talking about his birth, but at Easter we'll talk about his death, and throughout the year we talk about his life in between the birth and his death, because he was born for a purpose, because he died for a purpose, and his death was purpose was to connect with you, to be able to take your place on the cross. You see, we all need a Savior. And today I hope you're one step closer to making Jesus him. So number one, what are the six reasons why that name's important? Number one, we're saved by the name. We pray in the name. We make declarations in the name. We are healed in the name. We live to glorify the name. And finally, we bow down to that name. So number one, we're saved by the name. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, here's what it says. There is no one else or no other name who has the power to save us. For there is only, say it with me, one name to whom God has given authority by which we must experience salvation, the name of Jesus. John 14, 6, Jesus himself said this. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me or except by my name. One of my favorite verses on this, speaking of the power of the name of Jesus when it comes to our salvation, is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. It says this, talking about how we lived, you know, as slaves to sin, doing all the wrong things. He says this, it's true that some of you once lived those lifestyles, but now you've been, I love this, purified from sin, made holy, and given perfect standing before God. How did we receive all that thing? Is it because of our great name? Absolutely not. There's nothing we could do to earn salvation, to get salvation on our own, to see our own sins wiped free. None of that was available to us apart from Jesus. Let me keep reading. Because of the power of the name of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, through our union with the Spirit of our God. In other words, how did we get saved? It's all because of the name. We're saved by that name. Number two, we pray in the name. Sometimes we wonder, you know, do I have the right to even go to God? You know, in my condition, or will God answer my prayer? The answer is yes, he'll always answer your prayers if we pray the right way. Now listen to this, how important the name is when it comes to prayer. Jesus said this in John chapter 16. In verse 23, he said, at that time, speaking of now, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly, and he will grant you your request because you use my name. So I want you to get that picture of that. It's you talking to God by and through the name of Jesus. Jesus said, listen, you can talk to my Father directly. Just go in my name. That's why when you hear us pray, if prayer is new to you, the reason we go to God in prayer and say, Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus. Why? Because the scripture tells us that's how we're to pray. Look at verse 24. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. Again, we don't. We have the right to go to God in prayer, not because of who we are, or because of our name, or our own goodness, but because of Jesus and his name and his goodness. Somebody say amen to that. So one of my favorite prayers is the prayer of agreement. You may have heard about that prayer before. But do you know this, where the prayer of agreement actually gets its power? Because sometimes we think the power is in the agreement part. Well, and there is power there, but it's not the source of the power. Let me explain. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19 is where we get what we call the prayer of agreement. Here's what it says. Jesus said this. He said, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they shall ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For do you notice that? He says it takes two of us. We have to agree on earth concerning anything we ask. So there's two of us who agree, and then we ask. So if we can get together, what are we believing for? Well, I agree. You agree? We agree. And let's ask God. Let's seal it with our agreement. We think that's a great way to pray. We pray that way a lot. In fact, I've seen over the years, you know, the last, I don't know, three decades, so many times that we've seen God answer prayers when we pray that way. So it's really a great way to pray, but where's the power from that? Is it the fact that we're on earth? Is it the fact that we agree and that we ask? No, actually the power is described in the next verse. Here's where the power comes, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together, say it with me, in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. So where's the power come from? In the name. The power's in the name. We agree that in the name, there's power. So we can pray. So we're saved by that name. We pray in that name. And then this third one is an interesting one because it kind of sounds like prayer, but it's different. It's a little bit of a different nuance. The third one is we make declarations in the name. In John chapter 14, Jesus says something very similar to what he said in John 16, but with a slight change. He says in verse 13 of John 14, he says this, "For I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask me in my name. I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask me in my name." Now, remember what he said in John 16. Remember what he said in John 16. He said, "Ask the Father directly in my name." Here he uses the same word ask, but in that reference, it's different. The word ask is different. In John 16, it's requesting. John 14, it's more of a demand. You put a demand, not so much on we're demanding God, but on the situation. In other words, when you ask with a desire to receive it, he says, just ask it in my name. Now, let me continue to read. He says, and that is how the Son will show what the Father is really like and bring glory to him. Ask me anything in my name, and I will do it for you. This is where we get this idea that there's something about declaring some things in the name of Jesus. It's different than prayer. It's a declaration. In fact, we're going to make a declaration after service for over all of our lives. We're going to declare some things in the name. The first time I understood this and heard it, we were living in Tulsa. I was in Bible school. I had a job in sales and going to Bible school, and I heard about this, about the power of declaring things in the name of Jesus. In other words, the Bible says that we people of faith call things that be not as though they were. And so I was a manufacturer's rep, which means I was in sales. And what I did was I sold products that other people sold. In other words, distributors bought what I sold. They inventoried it, and then they sold them to contractors. I was in the lighting business, and so my lights were what they sold. So they bought lights for me, put them in inventory, and then when contractors needed lights to build whatever they were building, they came to that distributor and bought my lights. So part of my job was to check their inventories and make sure they reordered and had plenty in stock. So I remember going back one time in their warehouse, pretty big company in downtown Tulsa, and I walked back in the warehouse, and they had my products all stacked up next to my competitors, which I didn't like. Because how many? You don't have to be in sales to understand this. When they sell my competitor's stuff, I don't make any money. So I was about to curse my competitor's stuff. You know how Jesus cursed the fig tree? I'm being honest with you, all right? And then the Lord checked my heart and said, "No, just bless your stuff." I thought, "Oh, okay." So I slid over in front of my stuff, and I started talking to my lights. I said, "Lights, you're sold in Jesus' name. Now you can't stay here. You're going to have to go out there and go into places." And I did. I began to just speak over the products every time I looked at them. I talked to them. Now, I'm assuming that any of the warehouse guys who heard me must have thought I was crazy. But you know what? 2 weeks later, I came back, and I quote, and I swear in heaven to you, I quote what the manager said to me. I walked in and said, "Hey, how's it going?" He says, "So I don't understand it." He says, "Your stuff is flying off the shelves." I said, "Wow, how about that? How about that?" But it works. So what do you need to declare about yourself? What do you want to see different in 2019 from 2018? Maybe we begin to speak some things over your own life in the name of Jesus and see some amazing things happen in your life. Number four, we're healed in that name. We're healed in that name. James 5, one of my favorite ways to pray for people who are sick. James 5 and 14 says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. Now, sometimes, again, we get our focus on part of the story, but not the whole story. So, again, look at that verse. If you're sick, okay, what are you supposed to do? Call for the elders. So call for pastors or leaders in the church. What are they to do? They're to anoint you with oil and pray. But notice how they do this. Notice where the power comes from. He says, anoint them with oil. How? Say it with me. In the name of the Lord. That's where the power is, in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. Why? Because we prayed in the name. We're healed by the name. The name. The name. That's why Christmas is so important. The name. It's Jesus. It's why we celebrate it. All right, let's look at another one. In Acts chapter 3, it's a great story. Peter and John are walking to the temple one day, and along the temple, the road to the temple, were beggars, people who were in need of help, and they're calling out for help. And there was a crippled man who lay by the temple for years. And all he expected when people walked by was just a handout to help him. And so Peter and John walked by him, and the Spirit of God arrested them and stopped them in their tracks. And here's what they said. Peter looked at this guy and he said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. He said, I don't have money, but I've got something more powerful. I've got something of more value. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received their strength. He was crippled no more. How? In the name. In the name he received his healing. So, of course, the guy goes crazy. He starts jumping and dancing and shouting. And everybody who goes to the temple knows this guy because he's been there forever. So they begin to challenge Peter and John. And what happened here? Now jump down to verse 16. Here's what it says. Here's his explanation. You ready for this? Through faith, say it with me, in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. All right, here's a good word for you. You ever been so sick it's just hard to pray? I've been there. I've been just so weak, so sick. It's just hard to even pray. But you know what you can do? Just say the name. Just say the name and see what God does. Just say the name. We're healed by that name. Number five, we live to glorify that name. Now listen, I know that there are some of us here, we've spent our whole lifetime trying to build up our name, to build up a reputation, build up our name, make a name for ourselves. But I want to encourage you that there's a different way to live your life. Is it possible to live your life in such a way that you live to glorify the name of Jesus? Colossians 3:17 says this, and whatever you do, in word and deed, do all, say it with me, in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, whether you're a student, whether you are employed, whether you're a teacher, a construction worker, a factory worker, whatever your job is, you can do that in such a way that honors that name that is above all other names, the name of Jesus. The greatest gift that God could ever give us, and the thing that we celebrate at Christmas time, is the fact that God gave us the name of Jesus to play a part into our lives. And so before I share the sixth reason that name is important to us, as you see, our worship team has come up, and we're going to have them minister to us in song. And when they're done, I'm going to come back and wrap the message up. But let's let these words, as I've shared the word with you, now let these words minister to your heart, and I'll be right back.
Atmosphere is changing, nothing stays the same, Heaven is waiting for the mention of the name. The Spirit is moving, burning like a flame, healing the broken by the one we proclaim.
Gather all who wander, hostages of shame. Miracles unfolding by the mention of the name. Our darkness is fleeing. Mercy raining down. Healing waters flowing as with lips make the sound.
Raise it up.
Number six, we bow to that name. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6 says, though he was God, speaking of Jesus, he did not think it of equality with God to be something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he was the babe in the manger. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. He was Emmanuel, God with us, humbled by a simple birth, but humiliated by death. A death, a horrible death on the cross. But the good news of this Christmas and every Christmas that's ever been is that he didn't stay dead. But he's alive. He was raised from the dead for you and for me. Verse 9, therefore God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue declare, confess, say, speak, shout that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Somebody give him some praise for that. So what is the name to you? What is that name for you? You see, there's love is in that name. There is acceptance in that name. If you're here today and you don't feel lovable, you don't feel this Christmas season when you see so many other people share expressions of love, your heart aches for someone to love you. But you are lovable and you are loved by God. You are accepted by Him. This may be a season of time when you feel rejected, but you are accepted in that name. See, there's freedom in that name. If you're bound by whatever it might be, there's freedom in the name of Jesus. There's forgiveness in the name. Maybe you feel shamed because of the way things have worked out in your life. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus took that shame and those sins upon the cross for you. He had you on his mind when he took those nails to his hands and to his feet. When he gave up his last breath, he was thinking of you because he loves you. He cares for you. He accepts you, extends a hand of freedom and peace to you, only if you'll reach out and grab it back. See, there's love, acceptance, freedom, forgiveness. There's mercy in that name. Maybe you just need God's mercy. Just ask for it and you receive it. There's meaning in the name. In fact, whatever you need, you find it in the name of Jesus.